Citizens.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Outdoor Citizen. We want to thank Don Richmond for the music and Daniel Boyce for the bird songs that you're going to hear throughout this podcast. We'd like to welcome Katie Goodleaf, Kathy McCurdy, and Susan Graham from Volunteers for Outdoors Colorado. We're going to be talking to them in a little bit about VOC opportunities and experiences. Just a heads up, though, this is May, the month of May already, and May is National Bike to Work Month. The official Bike to Work Day is May 19th, and we're going to talk about how the Alamosa Bicycle Coalition is recognizing this month later in this episode. But for now, we'll get started with Katie and Kathy and Susan and start talking about Volunteers for Outdoors Colorado. Katie is the Weld County and San Luis Valley Programs Manager for Volunteers for Outdoors Colorado. She's a native of New York, but has lived in Colorado for 10 years. Kathy McCurdy is a longtime volunteer with Volunteers for Outdoor Colorado, and she's lived in the San Luis Valley since 1979, a native of Colorado, one of the few people who can actually say that. And Susan is a volunteer with Volunteers for Outdoor Colorado. She's been in Colorado since 2017, moved up here from Texas. So welcome to all of you. And Katie, let's get you started with just giving us some general background information and a little historical perspective on VOC.
Sure. So Volunteers for Outdoor Colorado has been around since 1984. So we're just about to celebrate our 40th anniversary, which is super exciting next year. It started just a small group of dedicated volunteers that were interested in taking care of trails and doing trail work. And here we are 39 years later, grown quite a bit. We have our statewide office is based in Denver and then two field offices. So one in Weld County and then the one that I manage down here in the San Luis Valley.
Very good. And Kathy, what do you do for Volunteers for Outdoor Colorado?
Well, I do just about anything they want me to. It's been a lot of fun. I'll do anything from trail work to restoration work to helping people learn about how to take care of trails, educating people about trail work. I do lots of different things.
And Susan, what brought you to Volunteers for Outdoor Colorado?
Kathy introduced me, and I did trail work on one project. And after that, I moved to the kitchen, and now I work as a crew chef.
Oh, very good. Well, that's something that is definitely necessary for a project which may last from just a day to multi-day projects. Katie, what kind of benefits are there to the environment and to the participants who volunteer with VOC?
So as the organization has evolved, we do a lot of different projects now. It's not just trail work. We do fire restoration, invasive weed management. We do urban gardening projects on the Front Range. We have a high school education program, a stewardship training program. So there's a lot of different ways you can get involved and give back. But I think across the board, you're helping support our public lands, which is a resource that is so special to Colorado. And so by getting out there and volunteering on these projects, you're helping take care of the places that mean so much to us. And I think from the volunteer perspective, you're going to have a great time doing it. We put on really fun projects. The volunteer community really makes the organization. So you get to go out, spend either a day, a weekend, or a week giving back to your public lands, getting fed by our awesome crew chefs like Susan, learning a bit about stewardship, and meeting a lot of great people.
You intrigue me with the invasive weed management. Have any programs this summer on getting rid of goat heads?
Not specifically goat heads. Unfortunately, most of the work that I do down here is with the BLM and the Rio Grande National Forest. So we're going to be a little further out into the wilderness areas. But one invasive project that we have this season, it's going to be our fourth annual Moon Pass project, and that's at the end of July. And so this has been an initiative out around the Moon Pass area to remove oxeye daisy. And it's been so incredibly effective that they no longer treat that area with chemicals. And so we just bring volunteers out there and we hand pull it all and have a great time doing it.
Wow, that sounds pretty impressive. Hand pulling those daisies, that's got to be hard work.
It is. And, you know, people make comments all the time. I can't believe you can get all these people to come out and just pull weeds. But it's more than that. It's the experience. It's knowing that you're doing good out there on the forest and helping promote native plants. So it's a good mission to get behind, and people are passionate about it.
Great. So I'd like to ask each of you to relate a story or two or three about some projects that you've participated in that you find particularly interesting that you think our listeners would enjoy.
I can let you guys get started.
Kathy,
we're all looking at each other.
Okay. Well, Susan, go ahead. Why don't you start?
So one of the exciting things that I've enjoyed most is cooking, of course, and we do backcountry projects, sometimes 5 days at a time. Last year, we went up south of the Rio Grande Reservoir with a whole crew of cross-country sawyers, and I cooked. We furnish hot breakfast and hot dinner every day. And those guys went out and cleared miles of blowdowns that were keeping equine users and hikers from going through the trail. They cleared it all the way to the CDT. Really opened up that project for more recreators. It was a beautiful place, gorgeous camping with lots of great fun friends. Craft projects. It was just a great fun project.
So south of the Rio Grande Reservoir is part of the Wiminuche Wilderness area. So does that mean that you guys went in just on foot or horseback? Or
we went in on foot. Our gear was all carried up by horseback. Actually, the Shoshone National Forest pack string took us in with all of our gear. We took in about 900 pounds of camping equipment, cooking equipment, and food, and set up camp for a week.
What kind of, you were talking about hot breakfast and a hot supper. Can you be specific? I happen to really like both of those. Well, I like lunch too, but.
So some of my favorite, I do a lot of Dutch oven cooking out on my projects. So I make Katie's favorite is Dutch baby pancakes for a group of people. We do all sorts of scrambled eggs and hot food. We also have some yogurt and granola. We prepare for both vegetarians and omnivores. Dinner ranges all over the place. My favorite dinner to cook out on the trail is gumbo.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
That's one of the nice things about going on BOC trips with Susan is she's a really, really good cook.
So, Kathy, tell us about some of the projects you've been on.
I've done lots of different interesting things, and one of the ones that was most interesting to me was actually right here in Stone Quarry, where we worked on one of the bike trails. And I worked with a gentleman who knew a lot about stonework, and we actually kind of cobbled a graded turn across a dry arroyo down there. And that was really fun, learning how to work with the flat rocks and moving them around. And it's actually one of my favorite things to do is working with rocks. And one of the other projects that we worked on was Rito Alto, and we had to re-erect the trail sign, and part of that project was then to bring really, really, really big rocks to pile around the trail marker, and it took anywhere from 6 to 8 of us to carry each rock over there to build the cairn for the trail marker. That was a lot of fun. Of course, it's beautiful up there.
So if you don't know Kathy, she's a very slight woman, but she's strong. So hearing her talk about enjoying moving rocks means that she must have a lot of interest in upper body work and, you know, building those muscles.
Well, as a matter of fact, I do go to the rec center locally and do some upper body workout. Yeah.
Yeah. So for listeners who may not be familiar with the area, would you explain where Stone Quarry is and Rito Alto?
So Stone Quarry is west of Monta Vista. The entrance there is south of the highway, probably about halfway between Monta Vista and Del Norte. There's a pretty extensive trail system, bike system through there. Gets a lot of activity.
Do you access that from Rifle Range Road?
Yes, yeah. That's correct.
And Rito Alto?
Rito Alto is in Sawatch County, the eastern range there in the Sangre de Cristos. You access the trail from the AA Road, otherwise known as Mirage Lane, which is between Moffat and Villa Grove. And you drive on a really, really rocky, bumpy road to the trailhead. It's about 4 miles, 3.5 to 4 miles to a really beautiful meadow and a camping area, and then another 1.5 miles of a rocky, bumpy trail up to the lake.
And if you're not familiar with that, it's right along, the trail is right along Rito Alto Creek, which is a beautiful fishing stream. There used to be, anyway, quite a few cutthroat in there. I don't think that they were Rio Grande cutthroat, though. They may have been Yellowstone or something of that sort, because they were very plentiful.
Yeah, I haven't fished up there in quite a while, but I know there are some good spots. I had some friends that were up there just a few weeks ago, and they said it still looked like the fishing was good.
Excellent. Katie, your turn.
Sorry, my allergies are killing me recently. So I've been on so many incredible projects, but one that we did 2 years ago and we're actually going to do again this year was trail work on the Los Pinos de Rio, or the
Rio de los Pinos.
Sorry, the Rio de los Pinos Trail. So we were out there 2 years ago with crosscut saws because it goes into the wilderness area, so you can't use mechanized equipment. So we were completely clearing the trail. I think we cut out maybe around 150 trees from the trail, and that was just in the first 3 miles. So now we're going to go back this year at the end of August. We're going to work on the first 1.5 miles, the section up to the waterfall. So there is a lot of rerouting that needs to be done, maintenance on the trail. It's pretty rocky, so it's starting to erode away. So I'm really looking forward to that project because it's in such a beautiful area of the valley.
And where is the Rio de los Pinos?
So it's kind of out by, it's on the Conejos Peak Ranger District, and so by the Trujillo Meadows Campground. So you'll go past that a little bit further. I'm not exactly sure of the Forest Service road names. I haven't been out there since last
project.
Yeah, that's
okay.
That's the general area, right north of New Mexico.
Okay, very good. So throughout the San Luis Valley, because I hear it talking about the Sangres, the San Juans, the South San Juans, VOC, statewide organization, but the San Luis Valley chapter covers the San Luis Valley group covers the entire San Luis Valley.
Yep, we do. We do work in all 6 counties, and so I do work with the BLM, so on different properties with them, and then I do projects on each district with the Rio Grande National Forest, and then I'll also add local community projects to the schedule, so as things come up, we'll add those to the schedule. So that could be anything like outreach events or maybe high school programming. I help out with the Beaver Creek Youth Conservation Camp each year, so we do forestry education out there. So just getting involved in a lot of different things in the valley.
And is that how you got involved with the San Juan Nordic Club on the work day in the fall to go out and help clear the Rock Creek ski area?
So I actually just really love cross-country skiing, and I knew Laura from living in town. I moved here to Monta Vista initially, who's the board president, and so it was just kind of a natural partnership that worked out, and then I'm actually on the board now as well, so we hope to get some more volunteer work out there.
Well, thank you very much for volunteering to be on the board. I guess volunteerism just runs in your blood.
I just love it, yeah. It's fun getting out there and involved with different organizations. I love, personally or professionally, just figuring out new partnerships that we can form with different community organizations.
Great. Well, could you guys give us some ideas of specific opportunities for this year, both summer and fall, how to sign up, what sorts of things people can expect if they participate in one of the projects, and anything about transportation or physical requirements to work on a project?
Sure. So currently I have 9 public projects planned and scheduled. The best way to find out information on those projects is going to be to go to our website. So it's voc.org, and you can navigate to our project calendar. And on the registration platform, you can filter all the projects. It'll show you the statewide project range, and then you can select filters for just the San Luis Valley, the project work type, the duration. We have difficulty levels. So there's a number of different ways where you can get a lot more information on projects to find a project that'd be suitable for you. And so you'll want to register for a project. So once you register, then the project manager, if it's in the Valley, it'd be myself, will send you all the detailed information that you need to know on where exactly you're going, when to meet there, what will be provided. Most of our projects provide food, but some of our shorter projects, maybe a half day, we might not have food available. So we'll send out all that information so you're prepared for the projects once you sign up.
Very good. Can you give us an idea, or just tell us about one in particular?
Sure. So one that's coming up is going to be with the BLM. It's the Greeny Mountain Trail Project. We're hoping to finish working on that trail this year. I think this is the 4th year we've been out there working on it. And so it's going to be a multi-use trail. That project's going to be on June 24th and 25th. So it's right outside of Monta Vista, so very accessible. And we're still looking for some more volunteers for that opportunity. One other thing I'll mention is that if you do go onto our website, right now just our spring projects are open for registration. You can see all of our projects, but June 1st, the summer and fall projects will open up for registration.
Kathy, I know that you plan out an entire year practically with VOC projects because
I love it.
Well, yes. And so talk about what it means to you to be a volunteer. What can other volunteers expect?
So first of all, they take real good care of you. You always have enough information to know where you're going and what you're going to be doing. They have a focus on safety. So if you've not used tools that are related to trail work or restoration work, you get all the instruction that you need.
And tools are all provided, is that
tools
correct?
Are provided. You don't need to bring your own tools. They also have a robust mentorship program. So that the person who is going to be leading you on the trail project, or one or two people, will have training in how to keep everybody safe and happy and having a good time, as well as the technical information to get the work done. Everyone has an opportunity to move up into a mentorship position if they would like. So there's a lot of support. All your tools are supplied, and there's usually really good food.
And Susan, you're maybe the head chef. Do other volunteers assist you with cooking?
We're always looking for a few folks that want to hang out in the kitchen to help cook and put out food and serve and clean up afterwards. One of the things that excites me most about this organization is its inclusivity. Everyone is welcome, all skill levels, all physical levels. There'll be a place for you if you want to be there. It's a great introduction into camping. It's very welcoming and open. I've made some of the best friends of my life through VOC.
Very good. Well, we've been talking with Susan Graham, Kathy McCurdy, and Katie Goodleaf, all volunteers or managers for the Volunteers for Outdoor Colorado. Katie, could you give us once more the web address and any additional contact information?
Sure. It's voc.org. And then my contact information is Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at voc.org. So anyone who has questions, or if you go look at the project calendar and you feel like there's not an opportunity that might fit what you're looking for, just shoot me an email, give me a call, and I can find a place in the program for you.
Parting words from anyone?
There's two opportunities I just want to throw out here that I didn't get to mention. So this May 20th, which is a Saturday, is Colorado Public Lands Day. And so I actually won't be in the Valley. I'll be out of training, but there are two volunteer opportunities going on. The Sawatch Ranger District is putting on a trail work day, and so that'll be in the Crestone area, working on Willow Lake Trail.
Oh.
And then SLV Go is also doing a trail work day, and that's going to be on Pronghorn. So two great opportunities to get out this month if you're interested.
So if you prefer the Sangres, go work on the Willow Lake Trail. If you like the foothills area west of Monte Vista, then think about the Pronghorn Trails. Thank you all for coming in. We really appreciate getting that information about VOC.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marty.
We'll be right back after this message. This is the Outdoor Citizen Podcast.
Alamosa Volunteer Search and Rescue is an all-volunteer nonprofit team that operates in Alamosa County, primarily on the Blanca Massif in the Sangre de Cristo Range. Some of these peaks require more technical expertise than others, and there is little room for error. Make sure you know your abilities. Before you go out to explore the wonders of the Alpine, be sure you tell someone of your planned route and have an agreed-upon time to check in with someone back home so they can call 911 if something has gone wrong. Have the 10 essentials in your pack and always check the forecast. Knowledge weighs nothing, and this is the most important thing you can take with you. ABSAR is honored to serve our community and those who visit. Learn more by visiting our website at www.avsar.us.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Citizen. We're going to give you some upcoming outdoor events. And remember that the Valley Calendar is the most comprehensive listing of events from across the San Luis Valley. Make sure you check it out and stay up to date. And we will have on the Valley Calendar all the information about the Volunteers for Outdoor Colorado projects lined up for the San Luis Valley. We talked earlier about May being Bike Month. Here are some great ways that you can participate. The Alamosa Bicycle Coalition's Bike Swap is this Saturday, May 6th, from 9 a.m. to about noon, and that will be at the Cole Park North Pavilion. Think community yard sale when you go to the Bike Swap. You can find bike parts and used bikes to purchase, or you can donate items to help benefit the Alamosa Bicycle Coalition. On May 12th, will be the Alley Cat Race around downtown Alamosa. Grantley Showalter from the Alamosa Bicycle Coalition says he expects the race to begin around 6. It will end at the Spare Keg on Main Street, Alamosa. Sounds like a good way if you know how to navigate downtown Alamosa. By golly, you have a good chance of winning something. May 19th is the actual National Bike to Work Day. And there will be more information coming out about that as well. May 27th is the third annual Valley Bottom Rio Trio. The race is done right on the Rio Grande in Alamosa. This year's race features an 8-mile mountain bike ride, 3-mile river paddle, and a 5K run. Given the nature of the Rio Grande right now, the river paddle should be especially wet. You can find registration information at rioraces.com. Sunday, May 7th is the annual La Puente 5K Crop Walk. It will start in Cole Park. Registration begins at 1 p.m. The walk begins at 2 p.m. There will be a DJ, Frito pies, face painting, and more activities for families to enjoy. Crop Walk is a 5K that supports Church World Service and efforts to help families who are struggling with hunger. Tuesday, May 9th, SLV Great Outdoors is hosting a beginner mountain bike ride at Blanca Vista Park, north of the downtown area in Alamosa. Meetup is at 5:30 p.m. And on May 16th, SLV Go hosts an intermediate mountain bike ride at Bonifacio Trail from 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. You can get more information about these bike rides by going to the SLV Go website. And there are going to be more mountain bike rides planned for later in May and continuing through the summer. All right, now it's time for an update on outdoor conditions. You can see the natural surface water rising in the fields across the valley. The water year is off to a good start, and it looks like we're in for a strong spring runoff that should last into June. Our outdoor correspondent Owen Woods was at the Great Sand Dunes on Monday to file this report on the flowing Medano Creek. Let's take a listen.
Hey, Marty, it's Owen. I'm sitting at the Great Sand Dunes National Park here in the Great St. Louis Valley. I've got my feet in cold Medano Creek. The sand is hot, so it's a nice time to cool off. There are people sandboarding and building sandcastles. There's dogs running around and people lounging around on Colorado's greatest beach. Imagine I'll be coming back more often. It is a beautiful, beautiful day, and that's my outdoor report. See you next time.
And as the days get longer and warmer, we'd love to hear from you as well. Record an audio file on your smartphone and send it to us. We would enjoy seeing a photograph also. You can email info@alamosacitizen.com or text the audio file and photo to 720-891-6759 with your name for credit. Additional outdoor conditions, the flow on the Rio Grande, the upper Rio Grande, the gauge in Del Norte is reading 3,880 CFS, Monte Vista 2,010 CFS, and Alamosa 505 CFS. The USDA is reporting 10.1 inches of equivalent snow water in the upper Rio Grande. We encourage you to check the roads in the National Forest and the BLM trails and roads are sometimes closed during the summer or during the spring when the water levels are coming up and when it's kind of muddy. So please know before you go and don't participate in making big ruts. Avalanche danger is moderate across the entire state right now, according to the Colorado Avalanche Information Center. Sadly, Colorado marked its 11th avalanche death this season when a 31-year-old skier was killed in an avalanche on Bald Mountain in Summit County Saturday, April 29th. The man's girlfriend notified 911 when he failed to return from a solo ski trip on the mountain near Breckenridge, the Summit County Rescue Group said in a news release. The Valley Pod had a great conversation recently with Crystal Wilson, president of the Alamosa Volunteer Search and Rescue Operations. We would recommend listening to that episode of the Valley Pod for more great awareness when you head into the backcountry. Remember, warm, sunny days and multiple nights of non-freezing temperatures increases the chance of triggering a wet snow avalanche a foot or two deep. Avoid steep slopes and areas below cliffs where you sink past your shins into wet, cohesionless snow. Colorado backcountry avalanche conditions are updated every evening at 4:30 p.m. For the full forecast details and more, go to avalanche.state.co.us. Now for some other outdoor news. We talked about May being National Bicycle Month. It's also Motorcycle Safety Awareness Month. The Colorado Department of Transportation released a sobering statistic this month. In 2022, 149 motorcyclists were killed on Colorado roads, representing 20% of the state's total traffic fatalities. So far this year, motorcycle deaths are down 22% compared to a year ago. To date, 21 motorcyclists have died on Colorado roads, down from 27 at the same time last year. So that's good, but please stay safe and let's all be aware of motorcyclists and bicyclists. There's some interesting work coming up for the Rio Grande levee system through Alamosa. The city and county will be working with the Army Corps of Engineers on a multi-year effort to shore up the right bank and left bank of the levee system. The right bank lies along the western bank of the Rio Grande. The left bank stretches across the Alamosa Ranch just east of town. Planning for the 100-year flood zone improvements is underway. It's a project estimated to cost $25.5 million. You can read more about all of this on the alamosacitizen.com. The Great Sand Dunes has begun its ranger programs for the year. Interactive porch talks at the visitor center will occur daily. They last about 15 minutes each. Daily afternoon programs will begin May 14th. These programs will cover a wide range of topics and be held at various sand dune locations. And starting May 20th, evening programs at the amphitheater will be just about every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday through September. These presentations will open up the night sky for all who come. Ranger-led programs are free and don't require reservations. And that ends this episode of The Outdoor Citizen. Join us next time when we talk to Danny Robin from SLV Go. She's going to take us through the recent SLV Go Trails survey. Until then, thanks for listening and enjoy the outdoors.